You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Here is Joseph, and Joseph was afraid. And the Bible says, "Fear not." The angel of the Lord came and said, "Fear not. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from his sin." And they knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. I recall the first time I saw that name Jesus on a Hispanic fella. And I thought, that you don't name your son Jesus. You don't do that. That's wrong. There's only one person. Well, I didn't know in Spanish it's Jesus, and you know, it's a good name. It's okay. So if your name is Jesus, but I thought, what in the world is going on here? I'm thankful for that name, Jesus. You know, you kids up there, you're going to get lonely in life. Billions of people on planet Earth, and you're going to get lonely. You get sad. You're going to have health problems. You're going to have health reversals. You're going to have difficulties in life. I know of a young mother, three kids we had prayer for last night, and she's in her 30s, maybe early 40s, and she's dying, leaving three kids. She may be gone before Christmas. My wife's brother passed away yesterday, younger brother. You never know what sorrow you're going to be called on. By next week, we could have my funeral, your funeral. By next Sunday, we could already have it and lay you to rest in the grave. You are going to have sorrow. You're going to have disappointment. You're going to lose a job. There's no such thing as working a job any longer a lifetime. You'll lose a job. You'll be unemployed. You'll have financial reversals. You're going to have it all. But I tell you what, in the midst of all of it, you always need to turn to Christ. Christ is that word. Jesus Christ is that word that we hear blasphemed and we hear used in swearing, and people get mad at Jesus Christ. But oh friend, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus, the pianist played the offertory. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. I tell you what, I've been so moved this morning. When that trio, I knew they were going to sing that song, but when you sang that song and he began that song, and it just got all, and then Brother Elisha, you sang so powerfully. At the right time, Jesus came. He's your answer for life today. I want you to see with me in the scripture today, as you turn with me to the book of Mark, chapter 5. We're using this verse here, Jesus, to talk about Jesus in Mark chapter 5. And as you get to Mark chapter 5, we're going to find that Jehovah, whatever you need him to be, he is. You know, Brother Whitlow, you have, in the ministry, you have found this to be, yeah, there's so many times you're bewildered, you're confused, you don't know what way to turn, but you can turn to Jesus, Jehovah. And Jehovah always is going to meet the need. You businessmen, God, you can always turn to Jehovah, can't you? Need that right job, God, you can turn to Jehovah. The doctor says this week, you have cancer. Here's how we're going to deal with that cancer. And there's probably someone in this room that's going to get it. Brother Miller, that you and your wife, the falls you've taken, and yet you're here in God's house today. They have learned in their life, you can depend on Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Here in the book of Mark, we find that a man possessed one of devils. A man possessed of devils. I was at a stop sign the other day. A man was crazy. He was out of his mind. He was a drug addict. His mind had been burned up. And he looked, I just looked over and he looked at me and he came unhinged. He began to swear at me and just call me every name and yell at me and scream and got close to my car. And I thought he was going to break the window. I didn't know what he was going to do. He was out of his mind. out of his mind. He's possessed of devils. I've got a major, I'm not smart like these men, but I've got a major in music. I've studied music. And rock and roll music is demon-possessed music. They will declare, the Beatles declare, our music is devilish. The Beatles said that in 1966. They said, we're more important than Jesus Christ. Well, they may have been for a season. They're dead and gone. And in hell, they lifted up their eyes being in torment. I want to tell you that rock music is devilish. Right here next to the post office is a duplex. I led my first couple of Christ there 50 years ago. They became faithful members of our church. They moved out and a couple that lived in there, they began to move family members in. One boy stayed home in his 20s that day from work, and he listened to rock music, acid rock, all day long, all day long, all day long. That night, he worked right next door to the church. His family worked right next to the church. And that building next to us on the same shared property line. That night he got up, his aunt got up, and she took a knife and was slicing cheese. And he said, I heard the devil say to me, go kill her, go kill her, go kill her. He'd been listening to rock music all day long. Go kill her, go kill her, go kill her. He took that knife from her and began to stab her and stabbed her to death and stabbed other people in that very house. I led my first soul to Christ. Rock music is devilish. It's evil. I want to say drugs is evil. In the last day, Revelation chapter 19, the people said they're going to give themselves over to sorcery. Sorcery is that word that is pharmakia, which when we get the English word pharmacy, it means drugs. In the last days, our people are going to be given over to drugs. You pray for our great president. Tomorrow he's going to make a decision on marijuana. Right. He said, I'm going to make a decision to legalize marijuana like Joe Biden did. It's the wrong decision, Mr. Trump. Right. He's been a good president. But I tell you, he's wrong here. And that's going to affect the minds of our children and our young people and young adults and adults as well. And their minds are going to be burnt up because of pharmakia. The Bible says here in chapter number 5, and I want you to notice with me, please, in chapter 5, verse number 12, and the devil besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. Here's a man that was living in a graveyard. They chained him to the tombs, and he'd cut himself, he'd loose himself, he'd break himself with unusual strength, and he'd cut himself and scream and holler day and night. Because of the devils. We are living in a devilish age. Right. Most of the religions in the world have demonism in it. Yeah. And the Bible says in verse number 15, and they came to Jesus and to see him that is possessed of the devil. Verse number 18, when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed of the devil prayed him. God cast out the devils in your life. In this man's life, and his clothed and sitting in his right mind, and he came to worship Jesus and said, I will spend my life with you. When God's people begin to get saved and trust Christ as a Savior, they want to be with Christ. That's why you're here Sunday after Sunday. And I know there's sickness and illnesses and trips and vacations. I know, but that's why you're here. Because you've been saved. And God put a new heart in your life. You want to be with the house of God. You go to work tomorrow, they say, hey, what'd you do yesterday? I went to church and a guy yelled at me.
Amen.
What? Yeah, I even gave him money to yell at me.
Yes.
You know, if you're demon possessed today, only God can relieve you of that demonism. I think of these girls over here, Amy and Heather. Their dad was my roommate. He's been home with the Lord for so many years now. Great preacher. But he said, Brother Jack, I remember Treep. He said, I remember when a woman came into my office and she was so powerful, so strong. He was a big 6'4", strong man. And she brought him to his knees, just gripping him. And he said, I remember watching that lady. She went over to a table, the four legs on the table, and she picked up that huge dining room table where several, just picked it up by the leg with the strength of her, just a frail little lady. She was demon possessed.
Right.
She had unbelievable strength. She was out of her mind. And most preachers have had to deal with that in their ministry, to see demon possessed people. Don't toy with Ouija boards. Don't play with that. That's demonism. Don't play with rock music. Don't play with drugs. Don't play with sin. Don't play with pornography. Man that I know who preached the gospel, who became a pervert and he molested kids. He's in jail today and he should be in jail. But he said, he finally broke down to his son after 10 years in jail. He said, Dad, where did it all start? He said, it started with pornography. And I began to look at pornography and every man in this jail, it always begins with pornography, and then pornography cannot solve it and meet your needs. So you have to turn to what's next, and you begin to molest children. Every one of these men in this prison cell are molesters. Your mind becomes demented, becomes demon-possessed. But not only does Jesus care for the demon-possessed man, the man possessed by devils, but he takes care because he's Jehovah of the one who has disease. Not only just devils, but the diseased. Look what it says in verse number 25. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, it suffered many things of the physicians, and it spent all that she had. And there was nothing better than, it grew worse. And when she heard that Jesus came into the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I touch but his clothes, I shall be made whole. And straightway, suddenly, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And immediately Jesus knew in himself that his virtue had gone out of him. And he turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched thee? And he looked about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing, trembling, knowing what was done into her, came and fell down before him and told him the truth. And he said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and behold thy plague. I want you to know that Jesus is the only one that can meet your physical need. Jesus did not meet my brother-in-law's need yesterday, but he did. 6 weeks ago, he said, I got a shoulder pain. He went to the doctor to deal with that shoulder pain and found out he had cancer of the brain, cancer of the lung, cancer of the kidneys, cancer in his shoulders. 6 weeks later, he's gone. He's one of the most godly preachers I've ever met. He got up at 4 o'clock every morning. He would read his Bible, he'd pray. He prayed for all 14 of our grandkids by name every single day. And all his nieces and nephews, all their grandkids. And he prayed for his own boys and his own daughter, own grandkids. He was a godly man. He prayed for, he didn't have a large church, 200, 250. He prayed for every single member every single day. He said, well, God did him wrong. Oh no, God's always perfect. God wanted him in the presence of himself. God desires that of him himself too. And he's in a better place. There's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith I can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. He's seen his brother that died 1 year and 1 day before him, Dwayne. He's seeing his nephew that died suddenly as a computer man several years ago, 8. He's seen his sister-in-law, Cindy Swanson. He's seen his dad. He's seen his mother that he hasn't seen for 55 years. I want to see my Savior first of all. He saw his Savior. You know, Jehovah, he takes care of the devils. Jehovah can take care of the disease. Thirdly, I see in this text that he took care of death too. Verse 35, but while he spake, there came a certain ruler of the synagogue to the house and said, thy daughter's dead. Why troubles the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered that no man follow him save Peter, James, and John, and the brother James. He cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he seeth the tumult. And he said unto them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, why makest ye this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, but she sleepeth. They laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say to thee, arise. And straightway that damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. They were astonished with great astonishment. You know, our Lord brought back to life a person that was dead. Why? Because he's Jehovah. He can do whatever he wants to do. My goal in my life is on this day and tomorrow, if the Lord lets me live, to say, Lord, I don't want my will. I don't have a desire today of my will. But God, my will is to do your will. That's what Jesus said of his father. He was dying in a garden, and he's sweating drops of blood. And he said, Father, let this cup pass me. In other words, he wasn't trying to get out of it. I've heard preachers say, he wasn't trying to get out of Calvary. He didn't come to die in a garden. He came to die on a cross. Let this cup pass, and God did. And he knew what still lie ahead. He knew that he was going to be scourged, the scourge with a cat of nine tails, and his innards falling out. He knew his hair was going to be plucked from his face and hair. And he knew that he'd be placed on a cross and nails in his hand and his feet, and that cross raised and thrown in a hole. He knew that. And he said, for this cause come I into the world. That's why I'm coming, to die for you. But he didn't stay dead. Amen. Right. Up from the grave he arose. Amen. We serve a living Savior. Amen. No other religion can say their God is alive. Right. I look at this text today. He's Jehovah to the demon possessed. He's Jehovah to the diseased. He's the Jehovah to those that suffer death. Are you trusting him today? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Our Father, I thank you that Jesus took care of the devils and the disease and death because he's Jehovah. And I pray your blessing on these dear, dear people. Lord, I love them so much. I feel so privileged to be their pastor. It's the greatest honor of my life to be able to be called their pastor. Thank you for this joy. Thank you for who they are. Thank you that they're here at Christmas. And I pray that, God, you would give us a great invitation. I wonder today, you're saved, but you're not trusting Jehovah. You're fighting Jehovah. You're upset with Jehovah. Yeah, but I wonder, could you learn to trust him? Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. You could trust God with your cancer, with your Parkinson's, with your MS, with your diabetes. You could trust him. With your high blood pressure, you can trust him. I'm not suggesting get off your blood medicine. I'm not suggesting that, but you can trust him. You can trust him with your finances. You can trust him with your marriage. You can trust him with your kids. I can trust Jesus. I can trust. You can trust him. How many Christians just say, I am going to trust him this week? Our heads are bowed. I'm going to trust him this week. Would you slip your hand up all over the house? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hands. God bless you. May put them down. Trust him this week. Trust Jehovah. I wonder who's here without Christ. If you died, you'd go to hell. You know you're not saved. Include me in the prayer. Up here in the balconies, you bus kids, are you saved? Do you know Christ? I wonder, how about down here on the lower floor, the rest of the balconies, are you saved? Preacher, I'm not saved. Pray for me. I'll not call your name. Pray for me. I need to get saved. Would you slip your hand up? I need to be saved. I need to trust Christ as my Savior. I need you today.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.